Good evening to everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to officially welcome you all to tonight's More Success Team Legal Shield Conference Call. We've got an absolutely fantastic call lined up for you guys tonight. I know one of my favorite speakers to hear from, but so I'm gonna go straight out to Branson, Missouri, to a Platinum Executive Director, a Millionaire Club member, a six-figure income earner, but most importantly, he's my dad, and that's Mr. Randy Moore. Dad, are you there?
I am, Jeremy, and I thank you for having me on. But I want to congratulate Miss Tammy Horn. She's a director from Phoenix, Arizona. She's the newest member of our More Success Team to qualify for a new BMW in the Performance Club. Of course, her upline is executive director is Mr. Chris Hughes from Utah. Great job, Tammy. But to introduce tonight's special guest speaker, which I've heard nothing but rave reviews, I think he was a special guest speaker in Michigan this last weekend. I want to go straight to Ada, Oklahoma, to Platinum 5 Executive Director. He's a $500,000 ring earner, an original Millionaire Club member who continues to lead our team after over 30 years, and that is none other than Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on the call?
Can you hear me?
Right here.
Randy, can you hear me?
Right here, Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you. You know, folks, I'm so glad to be on tonight, and I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad to have my son to be working with and my grandson to be working with. It's a great asset. It's a great family feeling, and I'm sure you feel the same way about your family, so I thank God for that each and every day. You know, this next speaker is, there's going to be a lot of things I can say about him, but one thing he's a fine gentleman. He's a good Christian. He's a man of honor and integrity, and he's my friend. He's a vice president of North Carolina. He's 147 months consecutively in the Performance Club, $100,000 ring earner, Millionaire Club member, and many, many other things. My friend and yours, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Agar Thomas.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay, Mr. Moore?
I can hear you loud and clear, Agar. Welcome to the call, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on the call, and I want to, everything you could say about me, it's like you're talking to a mirror. Talking about yourself, as far as I'm concerned, I have always felt like I was kind of adopted into you all's organization, even though we may not have been through birthright, but you know that's something called adoption, you know, and that works out good as well. And I just want to thank you, not only you but my friend Mr. Jeremy and Randy and everybody. You know, I so many times I've told people that, you know, it's something how the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and you have created so many leaders and successful people in Miss Yvette Mayo, who was always my mentor when I was in group. In fact, I gave her a lot of credit for when I was chosen as a group VP of the year, because when I first got involved, I used ahead of you all, then it contributed tremendously to my success. I just wanted to talk to you guys for a little bit. I did a training this past weekend, and you know, it did a lot for me as well, and I hopefully did a lot of people for the people that was up in Michigan. I got started May of 95 part-time, and December 6th of 96 I went full-time. And hear her and see what she did when we went to those group trainings and for the group VPs, and I just listened and hung on to every little word she said, and the result of that was, you know, not that I was striving for that, but the bottom line is, by just being duplicatable and being obedient as to what people that know about things. And when I first got started with the business, it never even dawned on me that, you know, I hear people say sometimes, well, you know, I can't make any money because nobody else is doing anything. That just never crossed my mind. I went to every training I could. I actually flew to Ada, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, and drove to Ada, Oklahoma, to take Captain Walden's group school the very first time, and got a chance to see every aspect of the business, and just kind of fell in love with the fact of the membership in itself. And one of the things I did with the training I did this past weekend, I said, you know, and I can say the same thing for you guys for the next 10, 15 minutes. Let's just do a checkup from the neck up. And I got that from my late friend, Mr. Wilbur Smith, who used to always say we need to do a checkup from the neck up and get rid of our stinking thinking. And if you think about where we are and what we're doing, really there is no comparisons to what we are and what we do. One of the things is, you know, something you've been given, something you have in your hand can create anything you want in your future. Something you have in your hand right now can create anything you want in your future. Now, what am I talking about? We have a membership. We have a membership. We have a product that, first of all, is unique and difficult to duplicate. So this is one of the reasons that we have, that there's little competition. Yes, there's some people that do legal service plans, but in many cases, you have to be, you not from an individual standpoint, you have to be subscribed to some type of a company or something like that where they got, you know, 600 or more employees or 1,000 or more employees. So we got a unique and difficult to duplicate product, little competition, and a suite of products to fit different target markets. See, these are all reasons why, you know, I say something you have been given in your hand can create anything you want in your future. And then here's the fourth reason that I think is more important than anything else. And I want everybody to think about what I'm about to say to you. Regardless of what opportunity a person is involved with, they still need our membership. I don't care whether you're talking to somebody who said they're making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month, doing whatever the case, whatever they're doing. Still, no one in their right mind would say, "Hey, since I'm making $50,000 a month, you know what? I think I'd rather just pay $400 or $500 an hour to an attorney." No, that doesn't make any sense. I think I'd rather just pay an attorney $2,000 or $3,000 to do my will. No, it makes no sense to do anything like that. So just keep in mind, we have our opportunity involves a product, a service, that regardless of what the opportunity is, the person still needs our membership. And to me, that means stability, and for us, it's success in itself. You know, so, you know, just keep that in mind. Everyone has problems. In fact, John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Your success and happiness in life depend on your willingness to help someone solve their problems. Now, I heard a wisdom preacher by Dr. Mike Murdoch one time. He said, "Money is merely a reward for problem solved." Now, think about what we're saying. Money is merely a reward for problem solved. Okay. We make money by solving people's legal problems. So, therefore, if you want to make more money, solve more problems. We also make money by helping people solve their financial shortcomings as far as our business opportunity is concerned. So once again, if you want to earn more money, help more people solve their financial problems. So money is merely a reward for problem solved. So we got to be a problem solver. In fact, this book I'm reading out of, which it says, the 1 minute businessman devotion, says Jesus was a problem solver. Thousands were burdened with guilt because of their sins. Jesus offered forgiveness. Thousands were spiritually starved. He said, "I am the bread of life." Hundreds had bodies riddled with sickness and disease. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Bottom line is, Jesus was a problem solver. We are problem solvers, and as a result of that, of us being problem solvers, guess what? Therein lies a tremendous opportunity for us all. So, think about this also. We have a unique product. We have, and I know this may be a little different from some people. Some people may say, "Well, you know, wonder what kind of tips you go with." You know, I don't think it's so much X's and O's, now, Mr. Moore, as it is, as Wilbur Smith says, the check up from the neck up. Because when you think about certain people, when they walk away and they do certain things, you wonder to yourself, you just kind of, you kind of say to yourself, that's interesting. I wonder why that happened. I wonder why that occurred. Now, I'm going to say something to y'all, and I want y'all to think about something I'm about to say right here. Now, we all know, if we've been in the business any length of time, there have been some people that, personally, Mr. Moore, I never thought would ever leave our company and get involved with anything else. I mean, it's just been some people that I just never did. I never thought about anything. Because I thought they were a little bit, you know, kind of more intelligent than that. You know, now I'm just saying that. I didn't, you know, and if anybody wants to echo what I'm saying, yes, I said it. Agar Thomas, I said I thought they were more intelligent than that. That's so I, you know. But here's the thing that I want y'all to think about. Have you ever wondered why those who leave the company spend so much time on Facebook referring back to leaderships despite their supposed success? You know, I think about this so much more because it was more because I think about it. I said, now, wait a minute. You know, it's kind of like this. Let's say you were married to somebody, and you might have been married to them 5, 10, maybe even 15 years. For whatever reason, you felt like you just couldn't put up with that person anymore. You just felt like that person wasn't stirring you like they used to. That person just wasn't motivating you like they used to. That person just wasn't enhancing you. You just didn't feel like you could have a big future with that person anymore. So you decided to get a divorce, and you married somebody else who now you say, this is my future. This is the person that's going to, you know, I mean, this is it. I mean, I am so happy now and all like that. Now, okay, you were married 5, 10, 15 years. And now you got divorced. So you married somebody else. Let me ask you a question. How do you think your new wife or new spouse feels that every time they look around, you referring back to the spouse you left that you said wasn't no good for you, but yet every time you look, you seem to be consumed in your past. You seem to be just all stirred up. Every time you make a stride with your new wife, or your new spouse, you always seem to always want to reflect back to the old days. Now, you know, the people that I know this about anything that's a spouse, you know, at some point in time, they'll just say, now, whoa, wait. I thought you said you were so happy with me. But if you're so happy with me, why do you keep referring back to your old spouse? Why do you keep talking about that? Every time you look, and I'm telling you, as the late Jim Rohn says, that's a clue. That's a clue. So, what should we be doing when we talk about check up from the neck up? Why you might be your own worst enemy. What you hear gets inside of you and has an effect on you. So let's look at the bullet point above when I said, ever wonder why those who leave spend so much time on Facebook referring back to League of Shield? Now, here's the question that I'm asking you that's on this call. Do you read the post? And if you read the post, why? What's in it for you? And what does it have to do with you? I mean, think about it. What in the world does that have to do with you? You know, people had to tell me about certain people that was no longer involved in our business much more. They had to tell me about it. I mean, I heard about it. But I didn't spend one second. I didn't spend one second reading about what they were doing, why they were doing it, or anything else. Because, see, when you know you're sitting at the table in the old days, if you're playing cards, and you know you got the best hand. If you're sitting up there and it's only four aces in a deck, and three other people around the table, and you got five cards in your hand, and of the five cards in your hand, three of them are aces. Now, I don't care if the other two cards are kings, but if you got three aces in your hand, here's what you know: ain't but four aces in the whole deck, and out of four people that's sitting there at the table, you got three of the aces. I mean, so you know you got the best hand. So as long as I know I get the best hand, I don't have time to be talking about what's in your hand and what's going on with you. I don't have no time to be doing that. See, because my whole focus is I couldn't tell you where people are going. I can't tell you what they're thinking about doing. Guess what? I ain't trying to be funny, but I don't care because it don't concern me. What I'm saying is, if you understand that stuff that you read gets inside of you and has an effect on you, you have to guard your mind. You have to be very careful about what you let go on the inside of you. So therefore, what happens is that you just need to focus on where you are and what you're doing. So let's look at another key point. Your success in Legal Shield will be determined by the things you are willing to ignore. I'll say that again. Your success in Legal Shield will be determined by the things you're willing to ignore. I had a couple enrollments today, and one of the real sharp people is on my team now, and one of them I was supposed to be going with them, but then I had another enrollment to go someplace else, and so what happened is I actually sent two people on this one enrollment, and then I went on another one. Now, watch this now. Watch this. Stay with me on this. See, I got a text from one of the guys, and he said, we didn't get a single one. I mean, we just didn't get a single one. And so I knew, based on he and then the other lady that did the presentation, that they probably were a little taken back from that. Well, in the meantime, the one that I went to, and I should have known something was up in this case, Mr. Moore, because it was a school, and the principal called me earlier today, and she said, "Well, she said, look, you don't have to worry about coming early. She said, 'Cause you're going to be the last person that's going to speak.'" She said, "Don't worry about that." Well, you know, here's the other thing too. You know, those of us that's God-fearing people, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you to go, and you need to go ahead and just be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. The Holy Spirit actually told me, Mr. Moore, go early so that you can see this lady and talk to her and rearrange that. But for whatever reason, I said, well, okay. And I ran into some things where I had to meet with those people first. So by the time I got down there, the meeting had started. Well, I knew I was in trouble because I was trying to get to the front to give her my introduction. Well, lo and behold, this is what she said. And y'all that do group marketing, y'all know this is just a nightmare when you hear this. You know, here's what she said. She had gotten through, and I was trying to get up there to her. So, but everybody kept going, just a little snippet. She said, well, what about this? We got this, we got this. Then finally at the end, she said, she looks over and she said, well, we have Mr. Agar here from Legal Shield. She said, he's going to talk to you some things about attorneys. Now listen to this. If you want to stay, you can stay. But if you don't want to stay, you can go. So I knew, Mr. Moore, I knew. I said, that's it. And as always, it's just like they jumped up like popcorn. So anyway, I had a few people that stayed there, and I had this, the principal stayed. And the principal overheard me talking about the fact about we had, you know, the rates are going to be going up, but, you know, if you get in now, then you're going to be grandfathered in. And she just looked at me, and she really looked sad. She said, I am so sorry. She said, would you send me an email or something so that I can get it out to people and let them know about that? She said, I am so sorry. She said, but see, I said, no problem, because I put it on myself. So the bottom line is, I think we end up getting like one or two or something like that. But here's my point. When I called my people told me about the day that they had, and you know what I said to them? I said, hey, welcome to group marketing. I said, guess what? Your leader, your trainer, I went down and I said, hey, things didn't work out for me either. I said, guess what? We got another enrollment tomorrow, and the one lady, she was just, oh, I said, listen, don't worry about that. I said, another day, another dollar. Another day, another enrollment. I said, listen, I've been doing this 18 years, going on 19 years. Guess what? It happens. It happens. That's just the way it is. But once again, I can't be consumed with the fact about what happened to me today, because there's absolutely nothing, Mr. Moore, I can do about what happened today. I can plan it. I can do it. Now I can review it, and then I can say, well, okay, here's what I should have done. Should have listened to the Spirit. Should have got there early so that I could have talked to the lady, but I had to meet with them beforehand and give them some materials and stuff like that. But that's no excuse. I should have been able to do that. But I've been doing this long enough to know, so that when I got that, I wasn't fazed by the fact of what happened, because I said, I knew that was going to occur. I knew that. Whenever you get up and you say something like that, well, hey, if you want to stay, you can, but you know, if other than that, you're free to go. I knew that was going to happen. So, like I told the young lady that we're going to be doing this tomorrow, I said, listen, I said, you know what? Bad day today, guess what? Better day tomorrow. I said, because, yeah, I mean, we're just going to knock some things out. Well, why are you so calm? I said, what? I said, do you realize if you dwell on this now, that will go in your spirit. Now, tomorrow, when we get there with new people that haven't heard about this, guess what you're going to do? That negativism will come out of you, and that down, depressing state will come out of you, and the result of that is it'll reflect in your presentation. I said, so, you know, you just got to think. You got to think differently. You know, I keep going back to what the late William Smith said, a checkup from the neck up, a checkup from the neck up. You cannot be consumed with what occurs that you have no control over. You do the best job you can, and so the best job you can is getting in front of as many people, letting them know what's available, and then from letting them know what's available, make sure you tell them the truth. Don't tell them to do anything it won't do. Tell them the truth. And then from there, just sit back and say, well, okay, now, let me ask you some questions. How do you think you could use this? How do you feel about tell me some things that's going on in your life that you're not really satisfied with, and let me tell you about what we can do to maybe help you get satisfied with your situation. So one of the things I think we got to learn to do is, rather than just giving presentations where we're doing all the talking, we need to ask some questions. See, because selling is not telling. Selling is asking. Selling is asking. The example I like to use, Mr. Moore, is I like to say this, and I know you and my friend Miss Charlene. I already know this already, so I'm saying this without even asking you about this. You all been married how many years? How many years y'all been married?
57 years, 10 months, and let's see, 15 days.
Okay, here's what I know. 57 years, 10 months, and 15 days ago?
That's right.
Because of the fact of you wanting to sell her on you being the man that's going to be with her 57 years, all this time period, because you wanted to sell her on this, here's what I know. You didn't tell her where you were going to lunch. You didn't tell her where you were going to a movie. You didn't tell her where you were going out someplace. What you did is you asked her where she wanted to go. You asked her what she liked. Why? You're trying to sell her on you being the one. So you didn't get up and just tell her, say, hey, let me tell you where we're going to go. We're going to go to lunch this place today. Or we're going to go to dinner here today. I thought I might just take you to this particular restaurant. And you know what? This particular movie is going on, and I've always liked Westerns. So, you know, I'm going to just take you to the movie. Not knowing whether she likes Westerns or not. Oh, no, 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 no. What you did was, 57 years ago, what you did was, you asked questions. You asked, where you like to go, Miss Charlene? What do you like to do? What kind of food do you like? Now, what am I saying, my brothers and sisters on this call? What I'm saying to you is that selling is not telling, selling is asking. Get in the mood of asking questions. Hey, you ever signed a contract document you didn't totally understand? But what do wealthy people do? Well, but by having Legal Shield, now you don't have to worry about doing that because then you state whatever the benefit is. Hey, you know, have you ever been just treated unfairly by somebody? You know, has that, you know, ever happened? Do you ever think it happened to you again? Well, the next time it happened, let me tell you what you can do. So what's happened is you're getting a dialogue. There's a conversation, but how's the conversation? You're asking questions. So here's what you're doing. You're selling the program, but you're selling the program by asking so that they tell you that now we've gone from being sold to being bought. If you ask questions, then nobody feels like it's a sales deal because guess what? They're just answering the questions that you ask, and pretty soon they'll say, well, you know what? When I initially thought about this, I didn't think I need anything like this. But, you know, then next thing you know, they start asking you this. Well, let me ask you this. What about this? This occurred back a certain time period. You know, could I use it for this? Could I use it for that? Could I use it for this? Oh, man, let me tell you something. By the time they get through, they already just taking it out of your hand when it comes to stuff like that. So here's the point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the point that I'm making. If you want to be in a situation where that you are on top as far as our program is concerned, number one, understand something you have in your hand can create anything you want in your future. Your secret, your success in Legal Shield will be determined by the things you're willing to ignore. It doesn't concern me about who is here and who is not here. My concern is not only am I here, I'm doing something while I'm here. And then more than anything else, I'm not telling anybody what the program does. I'm asking questions so that now by me asking these questions, I can get the right answers so that they now will just take the plan from me in itself. One final thing, men fail because of broken focus. Men fail because of broken focus. You know, I like to refer back to the thing, you know, and I tell people, regardless of what your religious preference is or whatever, everybody knows about Peter walking on water. And, you know, everybody talks about old big mouth Peter to start running his mouth, talking about, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. So, and the Lord said, come. Watch this. As long as Peter's eyes were focused on Jesus, he walked on water. Now, was the wind still there? Yes. Was the hail still there? Yes. Was the rain still there? Yes. All that stuff was going on. But he was so dead-eye focused until he didn't pay any attention to anything else that was going on. He ignored, what did I say, your success in leadership would be determined by the things you wouldn't ignore. He ignored all the things that was around him because he was so focused on where he was going. Now, what am I saying? You need to be focused on what you're focused on. Don't worry about who's here, who used to be here, why they left, what they doing. I don't care. Don't worry about who's doing the presentation tonight. That's going to determine about who, whether I take somebody to the meeting or not. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't even supposed to be doing no kind of stuff like that. What you're supposed to be doing is focus on the fact that you want to get as many people in front of the information that we have, because something you have in your hand will create anything you need in your future, which means that people need what we have because what? You are a problem solver, and people have problems. And because of that, that's where we are. One final thing. You will not decide your future. I'm telling you, you will not decide your future. But you will decide your habits, and your habits will decide your future. So you got to get in the habit of doing what you're supposed to do every single day. That means getting out in front of people. That means making sure that you're asking questions about whether people have had this or had that, so that people can now take this program from you. So if you get in the habit of doing that, guess what? Your future is bright with our company. And with that said, sir, I'll turn it back over to you. If you got any questions or comments.
Hey, Gar, I'll tell you, you kept saying problem solver. I've taught that for many, many years. But I ask you this question, and I tell my people, I said, let's keep it simple. So when I sit down with somebody to market to them, they really only want to know two things. And Harlan and I have discussed this many times. They don't care about Harlan having a wreck back in 1969.
Right.
That's important for our history. That's important for maybe if you're recruiting somebody and they want to know the history of the company. But if I'm sitting down with you to market something to you, you want to know two things. What will it do for me? Will it solve my problems? And what's it going to cost me to get it done? Am I right?
That's right. That's right. That's all. That's the only thing I'm concerned with. That's on. And see, if we focus on making sure that we give them so much information about what we do that is so overwhelming, then here's the question that is asked to me now. Not, man, I can't afford that. Here's what people say to me over the last 3 years. I mean, it took me a while now because, you know, for 15 years I was too busy trying to be focused doing it. But when I really got it done the right way, these last 3 to 4 years, here's what people are saying to me now, Mr. Moore. Is that it? You mean tell me I can get up? Is that it? Oh, wow. God, I was thinking it was going to cost $100 or $200. Is that it? Is that all it costs? Because what they've done is you've given them so much information, the value. And usually, to me, if somebody really tells you they can't afford something, it's not really that they can't afford it. Here's what they really said to you. What you have shown me is not worth enough for me to give you my $17 or my $26 or my $35. What you have shown me, you have not shown me enough value that is worthy of me actually giving you the money that you asked me to give you.
But well, Edgar, let me tell you something. You referred to my marriage. See, you have to have a good product, right?
Right, that's right. You got to have, and you got to know your product and don't misrepresent your product.
Evidently, Charlene didn't think I had a good product. Now you got to have a presentation, right? Evidently, I had a poor presentation. But in 2.5 months, I honed it, and brother, had I got a really good close.
I know you got that, and that's the deal. You got to know how to close. You got to know how to close.
Hey, I'll turn it to Randy, see if he's got something there.
Hey, Greg, we're going to have a question from some of our interviews. You got just a minute?
Okay, go ahead.
Let's take Alex Gardner up in Edmond, Oklahoma. Alex, you got a question or comment for Mr. Edgar? Maybe in speaker mode, I don't know. How about David Peterman up in Stillwater?
Randy, can you hear me now?
I can, David. Go ahead.
This is David. Hello, Mr. Agar. David and Gene Peterman here in Oklahoma.
Yes, we
are blessed and are every day. I tell you, I appreciate you and all your comments and things. I think that I guess one of the things, and Mr. Moore and the Moore Success Teams, it's such a blessing to us to be able to be on the team and have had the training over the years. You know, and like you were saying, the product, the service, you know, when you know that you know what you have, there really isn't any reason, you know, I mean, to us, it's more of a mission-focused type thing. I mean, you look at the fact that you can help protect people, you can help them protect themselves, their family, assets, identity for pennies. You can help them become good stewards of what they've been blessed with. I think that follows along with what Mr. Morris taught us for years and what you were just saying. And we just appreciate what you're doing. And I think that being able to ask the questions, and as you do that, allow them to see how it can bless them and how it can empower them and help them to, you know, worry less and live more, as we talk about today. We just appreciate your comments and where you come from. Appreciate you being a friend.
Thank you, my friend. And I always told people that, you know, I used to say it when it was the other company, but even I say it right now, you know, if the company were to all of a sudden disintegrate, one thing that I'm so blessed of is I have created some friends because of this that I will have for a lifetime. It may have started because of this business, but, you know, the eternal effects of it and the long-term effects of it, you just can't measure.
Well, I appreciate it, David. Did I have something to get on this morning? All right. This
call down in South Carolina, Mr. Tony Martin, another one of our guests. Congratulations.
Tony, are you on? That I am, Mr. Moore. Can you hear me okay? Appreciate it. Mr. Thomas, we appreciate you here in South Carolina and Savannah, Georgia. And I have to be honest with you, this was some absolutely phenomenal stuff. You know, we're building a brand-new team here in this area, and I know a lot of our guys and girls might be going through some struggles and challenges while they build this business. But again, the two quotes that you gave us, men fail because of broken focus, I just thought that was absolutely on point. And so really, no real questions. Just want to thank you for those great words, those great comments, and those great tips. It's going to make a difference, and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right, Mr. Markley. This is Randy. I just want to let you know how much we appreciate you and Michelle and how you've stuck and stayed over the years and how you've always been so solid and you've always helped our team anytime we've asked. And, of course, you know how we consider you as family. And I just appreciate you. And I know you're a big guy, but you've got a bigger heart. And we love you, and we appreciate you being on the call tonight.
Well, we love you here back at you, you know, and I hope the good Lord bless you so good your father's keep grinning tonight, okay?
With that, I'm going to turn it back to Mr. Moore.
Hey, Agar, remember, I'm the Upline Platinum.
Okay, I know. I guess he's going to have to tell y'all about that one of these days where I had this dream, and I honestly did. I had a dream where I woke up, and I woke up thinking that I had called in and talked to Tiffany Layton, and Tiffany Layton said to me that my Upline Platinum was Ken Moore. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And all I kept thinking to myself was, and it was so real, because I kept thinking to myself, well, I just can't imagine that he's never said anything about me coming to the things and all, except from time to time as a guest. I said, I know if he's my Upline Platinum, surely he would have told me somebody before now. And I'm telling you, it was so real. And it's almost like when I woke up, it's like, man, did I dream that? Was that? I had to tell him about it, too. That's a true
Bless
story.
You, brother.
I didn't make that up. That's true. That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's do what we always do. Put God first, family second, put Legal Seal third. Thank you, everyone, for being on the team. God bless you, and good night.